Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today's episode is brought to you by Pluto TV. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. No credit card needed. No sign up. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today. Welcome. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Tim?
Yes.
The other day, there was some very bad news in the world.
I don't know if you
felt it, but I did. There was a great disturbance in the Force.
Yes, there was. Yeah.
Millions of nerds suddenly cried out in horror.
I did, too.
Suddenly silenced.
Yeah,
something terrible has happened, not just Obi-Wan's prediction, but the fact that Peter Mayhew, the actor behind the iconic, lovable character Chewbacca, passed away the other day.
Yeah.
So, being that it's mine and my wife's one of our very favorite movies, I thought I'd address that as well. Gosh, who didn't have some part of Star Wars enter their realm at some point?
Yeah, I didn't want to be one of the 5 million people who posted the RIP online. It's one of those things where you know, sometimes you just need to mourn in private. But it was a huge loss. You know, he had been. What's amazing about Peter is he actually got out of a wheelchair to participate in The Force Awakens. I don't think a lot of people realize that he was bound to a wheelchair. Managed to get his way out of the wheelchair to get into the role one more time. That says something about the man's character, really. Does.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
So, the world will mourn and miss. And when I throw in the fact that millions of nerds around the world mourn, that's not just the nerds faction. It's these two nerds right here as well. Yeah. So, I also want to make a mention, Tim. I guess I was a little unfair a week or so ago on the show. When I get a little bitchy about the situation with Jack Osborne and Katrina. Their new show is fantastic. I don't know if you saw it on Travel Channel.
Oh, yeah.
Portals to Hell.
Yep.
First of all, huge, huge success. Mm-hmm. And what a great episode to kick off the series with. Listen, folks, I'm out on the road traveling right now, doing a lot of traveling. And between traveling and recording this show, Midnight in the Desert and True Crime Tuesday, I might have gotten a little crabby. Little crabby, Tim. So I just wanted to go on record and say, hey, listen, I adore Katrina. I respect Katrina and Jack and wish them all the success in the world. And certainly if they ever have time to actually want to show up on the show, we'd be more than happy to have them back and bring them into this world. I just wanted to let the listeners know. I saw a lot of vitriol and agitation from the listener side. And I think what they were relating was kind of the disappointment we felt in the interview falling apart. And that's just because of the timing. They were launching a brand new series, and the day we were supposed to record was the day that their series began. So they got pulled in about 18 different directions, and that's no fault of Jack or Katrina's. I never talk about this on the air. I literally think it was just because I was a little crabby. I've been tired and maybe burning the candle on both ends and in the middle. So my apologies go out to Jack and Katrina. And, you know, guys, you can call off the dogs. You don't have to keep writing nasty and mean things on social media. That's not their fault. It's just in the flow of work and, you know, them trying to appease 900 people pulling at them for interviews. And it just it was a bad timing issue for all. But again, we wish them a lot of luck. And if you haven't seen it, set your DVR. And I got to tell you something for you paranormal fans. If you like programming like this, then what you need to do is record it and watch them. You have to watch them within 3 days of their airing for them to count as part of the ratings. Just having them on your DVR does not matter. Even if you know, there's no way I'm going to be able to watch this, then maybe you turn it on, hit play, let it play, and then go back to it and watch it in full when you have the full time to commit to it. But let that count. Let it register, because I know that we're all watching these shows. And if you're like me, I'm on the road all the time. I record 4 or 5 weeks of episodes and then sit down and power through them. However, that doesn't count in the ratings. And if you want to continue to see great programming on the supernatural, the strange, and paranormal, you've got to be able to support the shows that you love. So when you're surprised, wow, what happened to that show? I love that show. We all binge watch. We're all used to that, but that doesn't help in reflection of the ratings. They're getting monster ratings, by the way. But I just want to make sure that, you know, people, we've realized that this is, you know, the way to help these shows out and to be more successful. So if you love them, watch them. And if you record them and can't watch them right away, at least hit the play button so that it plays out on your TV and go back and visit it when you have time to actually to watch those programs. It really does help. Like when you go rate and review this program.
Absolutely.
So Jack and Katrina will, I'm sure, join us at some point here in the future. Maybe we can catch them after the season wraps up to talk to them about their adventures.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll do that. Let's get into today's program, Tim, as we go journeying between the worlds. I'm always fascinated when we can educate ourselves and learn a little something new. And, you know, again, it's 13 years on the air. We've done our due diligence as much as we could in a lot of ways, but there's still some learning we need. And that's why I was excited to land our guest for today. The book is called Journeying Between the Worlds, Walking with the Sacred Spirits Through Native American Teachings and Practices. Our guest is Eagle Skyfire. Eagle, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here today. Thank you for having me.
If you would talk to me a little bit and help our listeners understand the term shaman and what that really means. What does that entail?
Shamanism really is, I guess, three things. So the first thing would be just someone's innate ability to send their spirit, their own soul or consciousness into different realms of reality, ultimate forms of reality. But it also talks about the job of a shaman, regardless of culture, is to help to maintain balance, sometimes healing within an individual or within a community or within this realm and the realm of the spirits. So again, with that, it's also a way of being. So the third thing, it's not just meant to be a tool to, you know, strictly have answers for yourself, but also, too, a way of being as far as for being in sacred communications with not only the spirits, but also with the natural world around us.
How do we get out of balance between our world and the world of spirits?
Well, I would have to say the first one would be even just being out of balance with ourselves. And I'm sure for our listeners, you know how the demands of everyday life can be completely relentless. So we lose touch with ourselves, and we forget to listen to our own hearts. And then we get so caught into cyber world or being inside a building that, at least around here, closer to Philly, some people even forget to go outside and look up at the sky. So it can be as simple as that. Not that easy at all. You know, in this 21st century, to just learn how to be and be quiet underneath a tree is becoming a lost art.
How does that impact and affect our soul, our spirit, and our connection to our ancestors? If we're cutting ourselves off that way, how does it start to show itself or manifest itself?
Well, the first way that it starts to manifest itself is why you see a lot of anxiety and depression right now. And in turn, not trusting our own inner knowing and being disconnected from our guardian spirits and our ancestors we begin to lose that wisdom that helps us to not repeat the same mistakes and does not allow for us to really connect with that feeling of life around us. So it really does impact us where we become lost, and you see it all around you, you know. And it's a shame because it's very simple. The ways of the shaman in some ways are complex, but in some ways very simple, just literally breathing and being and reaching out to your ancestors and to the nature spirits.
Our guest, Eagle Skyfire, is a sought-after teacher, priestess, shaman, and speaker on these type of native traditions and spirituality, and she presents workshops and lectures on shamanism, prophecy, self-healing, empowerment, and walking in balance with the natural world, which is definitely, I think, something Tim and I are in desperate need of, is trying to get reconnected. I'm not an outdoors guy. Tim's not much of an outdoors guy anymore, and, you know, it. There is that kind of interconnectedness to everything. And you know what? I do notice that when I do get out, and I've been doing a lot more on the road filming and getting out into the sunlight again and being in places where there are actual trees and land, that there is a different kind of peace that you can feel.
Oh, absolutely. And if you've noticed, even if you've had a good day or a bad day, literally just standing outside, even if it's underneath the beautiful starlight and moonlight, and just literally just going and just being in your breath really centers you and really helps for you to feel reconnected. So if you've had even especially a bad day, sometimes it's just that feeling of the earth beneath you and the kiss of the sky and just exhaling. I don't know about you, but it lowers my blood pressure a great deal. It helps a whole lot. I don't know if you've ever found that for yourself.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't do enough of it to probably notice. But yeah, I can say that there are those days when things just feel bad. And when I get out of the house and just stand there and kind of breathe in the world, there is more of a calming effect. Do we have different components to who we are, according to Native American culture and understanding? And if so, what are those components?
Absolutely. So I'm just going to preface this by saying that, again, I'm going with my teachers. And again, my teachers were mostly Six Nation Iroquois and Anishinaabe. I've had several teachers. So the reason why I say that is in North America alone, there were over 500 nations, each having different varieties of similar core beliefs. So the answer to your question is yes. So by my teachers, the three major components of the soul, one would be called the raiz, and there would be a chakra, an energy center that connects by your feet onto the earth, about your solar plexus. And this is the part of yourself that allows for your spirit body and your physical body to connect not only within itself, but within the energetic and physical entities of nature and all that is. Then the second component would be, again, overlapping the solar plexus to the throat. The fleece is where Creator lives within you, which is why in many cultures, you know, even when you go to the Christian, you have the Sacred Heart. All cultures talk about feeling things from the heart, and you sense things. They might call it, quote unquote, in your gut, but it's that resonance within. And this is where you connect beyond yourself. And then the third component overlaps the third chakra and goes beyond the crown chakra, which is the who, like, who are you? Not to be mistaken for the song. And it's who you are in this current incarnation. And it allows for you to live the lessons that you live in this life. So through those three major components allows for you to completely live your life in fullness, as well as being able to connect with this physical world and the world of the nature spirits and of the ancestors.
When you say able to get into touch with this incarnation of yourself, is there a belief in reincarnation in your culture?
Absolutely there is. And it's a little bit different than with others. So for us, Creator, otherwise known as the Great Mystery, the Great Unknowable, has tremendous lessons. And each incarnation is, if you will, like a chapter. So let me give you an example of a lesson. Say, learning about what is love? You know, simple four-letter word. So each incarnation can be a different installation. So what happens is Creator will have you take the form that will help you learn best. So say, for example, We don't believe human beings are the epitome of creation. We are another creation. So as my Mohawk teachers used to say, we're no greater than the ants, but we're no lesser than the mountains. So say, for example, I'm trying to learn about love and I refuse to listen and I keep on talking and I keep on, putting people off. Then in the next incarnation, perhaps Creator will make me come back as a tree because the tree has to learn to stand and to listen. And in turn, this is why if you've ever been to a location and you can feel like there's a greater presence, or sometimes you might even have an animal companion like a dog or a cat that seems to be deeper or wiser, or there's more to it than just a dog or a cat, then in the native we say perhaps there is a greater being taking that form, because we're not humans having a spiritual experience. We're spirits having a human experience. So it's kind of different in that regard, that we are put in whatever form Creator has us be. And the other thing with incarnation for us is planet Earth, our beautiful mother, is a teeny tiny college within a vast multidimensional university. So sometimes a soul may not originate from Earth. It could originate from another star or another place. So it's a bit more complex than people would think.
What was the line you said? That was fascinating about the spirit. And I'm sorry, I can't remember how you said it. It was eloquent. Nope.
Oh, okay. Pardon me. I have a parrot by the name of Indiana Jones, so in case you hear him.
Sure.
We are not humans having a spiritual experience. We are spirits having a human experience. And again, like my Mohawk teachers would say, and I would be told by several nations, we are no greater than the ants, but we are no lesser than the mountains.
That's really...
So Creator will have us just whatever form we have. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's very profound that we're spirits having a human moment, right? This is our mm-hmm. experience in this realm. Do you believe then that our soul lives at the same time in multiple realms?
Absolutely.
Or are we focused in one lifetime at a time?
No. We're definitely living more than one timeline at one time. And usually when I start getting into this conversation, my students start reaching for the motion bottle and saying that I'm acting like Dr. Strange at that point.
Well, explain that to me if you would. And does that, how does that impact our physical being? And is there a way to control so that we're not maybe being drained by multiple lives at multiple times?
That's a very good question. Well, I'm going to tell you what I tell my students, which is, you know, just focus on the present. Because regardless of those different multiple views through the multiverse, for lack of better words, the essence of you is still the same. So if you are focusing on being the best person you can be, and you are completely focused in the present, then you will regret nothing in the past, and the future will resolve itself. So if you find that, say, for example, you feel that there's a drain and it's not a spirit, it's not, you know, your coworker that you'd like to just, you know, tell them to go fly a kite, then center within yourself. Touch the earth, even if it's a case of sitting next to a houseplant, and then just send energy to that part of you, and just a gentle saying, it's okay. A gentle reminder, how better to draw from universal energy versus from the part of you that's, you know, sitting down in your living room. So it's really not that complex. It's just a matter of seriously getting in touch with oneself. And what's really interesting is that when you get trained enough, you can actually visit your past or future incarnations. And that's kind of very insightful when you can do that.
All right. When you say you can visit them, how so? How does that happen? Or how can we engage it, I guess, is maybe the better question.
Well, I would say with a note of caution, I'm a nerd too, by the way. So I would say, are either one of you Trekkies?
Yes, I am.
It's like the prime directive. Observe, but do not interfere. So if it's a case in this regard, you can have a teacher, if you don't know how, assist you with journeying, again, sending your consciousness back to observe the past and see what lessons there are. Not interact, that takes a different level of discipline, or go into the future. And you can literally see how your future incarnation is actually developing, depending on what you're doing now. So it would be through journeying, and in the beginning, through the assistance of a teacher who can keep you safe while it's going on.
If we have the accessibility to go backward and forward within our own timeline spiritually, why is there this prime directive then? I mean, if the whole concept is to learn, why shouldn't we learn and be able to reflect that back to ourselves to make us a better person and change that part of who we are?
Well, think about it this way. So, Dave, I would ask for you, look at your own life. If anything had changed at all, even the slightest thing, do you think you would have landed exactly where you are right now sitting with me?
No.
Exactly. So you don't want to tamper with the past. You want to appreciate it and take the lessons from it. And then in the present, make use of them. And in turn, that will automatically have a positive impact, not only into your current future here in this incarnation, but for future incarnations as well.
But in your belief system, can you affect the past? Is it a...
Yes.
Okay, so you can go back. How does that occur?
That occurs if somebody is able to have enough discipline and strength to actually make contact with the past incarnation. And so we say give them information or influence them that prevents a sequence of events of taking place. And that can create a ripple effect going into the future that can throw everything out of kilter. I've had one time, way back when, unfortunately, a student who was a bit overly ambitious. And ultimately, I'll just politely say that health-wise and otherwise, it ended disastrously. Did not heed my warnings.
It's so interesting, right? This journey that we're allowed to take and how we impact so many other lives within our own lifetime, and how something that we would look at as some, you know, so banal and insignificant, when we influence that, how that might have set all these other worlds into a totally different motion as well.
It absolutely does. And our lives matter. That's one of the things that I try to teach, because in this culture, they always try to make everything seem larger than life. When everybody's life matters, we are all part of the weave. We call it the dream weave. And with that, if we just appreciate, you know, a kindness, you know, giving someone a smile, you know, yourself who are doing this work, all, you know, the both of you, bringing enlightenment is so powerful. And people don't realize the power of just being who you are and appreciating who you are. And that's with shamanism. That's part of what we try to do, is teach the person to not only appreciate all that is, but appreciate themselves, that they are part of this beautiful weave of life.
We'll continue with Eagle Skyfire. I want to direct something real quickly to our listeners. If you've been dealing with digestive problems, weight gain, maybe low energy, achy joints, if you're struggling with any of these, Dr. Stephen Gundry says you're not alone, and he knows the real cause. Dr. Gundry is one of the most famous and well-respected diet experts in the world. And he says that most of these problems aren't about lack of exercise or even genetics. They're a real thing, and it's called leaky gut. Leaky gut happens when you eat certain foods that contain something called lectins, which are these tiny little particles that tear holes throughout your digestive tract. And these particles will wreak havoc on your insides. It causes poor digestion, fatigue, achy joints and muscles, brain fog, and even worse, health issues. So what's the solution? Well, you need to know the few foods to avoid. And Dr. Gundry has made a free video describing exactly what they are. People who watch the video have reported more energy, smoother bowel movements, slimmer waistlines, and a stronger, healthier body. If you want to tackle your leaky gut, just watch the free video at TotalRestore2.com. That's T O TalReStore2. That's the number 2.com. TotalRestore2.com. That's the first step to regaining your life and control of your situation. Start feeling better. Go check out TotalRestore2.com. All right, Eagle, when we're talking about the concept of the who we are and our reaches to the spiritual realm and connectedness, you know, if we can incarnate into these different things, these different, you know, from trees to animals to human lives, to learn these different aspects of our journey, how do we cycle through with the spirit realm in the living present? Meaning, how are we connected to our ancestors and those that left before if they're incarnated into something else already?
Well, that's what I would say to you is there is a natural cycle. So when it comes to those who walk with you, so I guess let me just back it up a little bit so that you can see the Native American point of view, because I know the Western culture is quite different than mine. So we believe, and I think we had this have in common with your culture, our souls are part of Creator and is conscious before body, during body, and after body. So these connections continue, you know, after we drop the robe, after the body dies. So with that, there are soul agreements that are made before an incarnation. So very well, it could be that those who are agreeing to be the part of your ancestors will, with the permission of Great Spirit, will not incarnate until everyone is back on the other side. So it's almost, if you will, not to diminish it, it's almost like when you have a production. And it isn't until everybody is done from the production that everybody takes a bow, and then they're allowed to disperse and move on to something else. So I don't know if that helps to answer your question, but that's why. And then the essence, and I know this might sound weird, but the essence of maybe your great-grandfather, you know, remains behind until he's called to incarnate. But that echo remains behind. And even after, say, you and your great-grandfather reincarnate, the lessons, the energy, the stories remain behind you to strengthen the ones that walk into the future. So for us, it's an unbroken hoop of life. So it's like the figure of infinity, if I were to translate it into this culture. It has no beginning, it has no end, but it's always balanced.
Can we journey between the worlds? Can we journey between here and the spirit realm safely? Or are there inherent dangers in doing something like that?
Well, it's very much like driving. You know, when we drive, you know, we have to learn a set of rules and regulations, get our license and get out there. So I'm going to answer your question directly, which is, can somebody journey without training? Yes, if they have they have the natural ability. And all of us, without exception, have the birthright to journey to our sacred space on the other side, journey to connect with our guardian spirits and our ancestors. But just like somebody, you can give somebody, a kid, a keys to your car, and they might know how to stamp on the accelerator and turn the wheel, but they may not be safe. So when you train with a teacher, as we do, then you're taught how to safely go between the worlds. So you're not taking any garbage from this world, excuse me, into the world of the spirits, or accidentally have something be attached to you from the realm of the spirits and wreak havoc here in the physical world. So with training, you can safely journey and journey farther. Just like when you drive, anybody can, even a child, can mimic operating a vehicle. But it's only after training and experience that you can go farther and go more safely. So I would say that would be the basic equivalent.
All right. What is your theory on ghosts then, that seem to be haunting us here? What are those?
There's more than one qualification of ghosts. And it's funny because I was actually on the second unit for the Dead Files once. There's two types of ghosts that I'm going to say, two broad categories. One are what I call residuals. And they are when something has happened at a location so profound that the echo remains, but there's no sentient beings there. So it's very much like somebody replaying a video. So you'll have that happen the ones that people are more familiar with are stories of on a certain date, you know, a certain ghost appears and reenacts a historical event. But there's no actual sentient being there, just an echo that the land holds. The second would be, again, actual spirit. And in Native way, we see that these are souls that are trapped in between the worlds for whatever reason and would require assistance in order to be able to move on to where they're supposed to go next.
Can these spirits, and maybe even when we cross over, can our spirits come back and influence the living, making, you know, life hell for them? Or are these different beings that are doing that?
No, it's 100% correct. So from the ancient teachings of Native people of my tribe, when the body is considered a robe, like clothes, so when the robe drops, your body dies, the soul is meant to go on a journey of purification. And when it comes back within 1 year from the anniversary of, we call it the spirit day, just like you have a birthday to be born here, you have a spirit day when you're born a spirit. So from your anniversary of your spirit day, you can come back as, we call it a hupia, a sacred ancestor to help. And it could even be like you come back to visit your best friend. And you can influence by giving information, depending how powerful you are, influencing events. But you're coming from a space of having touched the eyes of Creator. So you come in a benign way. You understand what you're touching, what you're allowed to do. If you are a soul that is in a panic, you're afraid because you think you might go to hell or whatever, then you try to attach yourself to the living and attach that life force. And that's when people have sickness. They might experience it as their lives becoming unraveled or even hauntings. And 9 times out of 10, these are from souls that are afraid or don't know what to do. They feel that they're trapped or they're trying to attach to something. So, you know, I usually get called in for the latter part sometimes.
All right. Well, when that happens, what is the danger level to our immortal soul in interacting with these beings, these different incarnations?
Well, I would say, so are you talking about both? Or are you talking about incarnations, past incarnations? So just for me, they're two very distinct things.
Well, why don't you describe both to us, if you don't mind?
Oh, no, not at all. Well, if you're talking about with a past incarnation, because you wouldn't be haunted by a past incarnation, that would be you visiting the past. Then, as I said before, you can, it's kind of like quantum leap. You can, you know, instead of putting things right that went wrong, you can put wrong what was going right. So hence, just observe. If you're talking about beings, shall we say ghosts, spirits of people, then the harm that it can do is it can bring sickness and despair, which in turn can distract you from your path, what you're supposed to be doing or focusing on daily life. And that can set off a whole chain of events. And it can actually drain your health, which again, you know, can make you not follow your normal routine. And that, as you pointed out earlier, Dave, we're not an island. You know, our lives touch so many. So knocking somebody out of alignment actually has a bit of a domino effect.
Are there malevolent beings that you believe exist in that realm as well?
Yes, they absolutely do exist. I'm actually trained to handle that, although I'm moving more into being a wisdom elder and a teaching role. Yes, there are several qualifications of them, but let's just politely say one part of malevolent beings could be people who in this life were themselves cruel or malevolent, and they choose to wreak havoc when they are in spirit, just like they would when they were in body. And then there are others that I guess in this culture would translate to being demonic forces, or I'm going to say malevolent chaos forces as well, that they feed off of pain and sorrow. So spirits also, I'm going to say, interact, and I'm going to put with air quotes, feed off of different energies, and emotions are the most powerful way to feed off of energy. And anybody who's an empath out there knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to frame this properly, but coming into contact with the spirit realm, why do you think that boundary is allowed to be crossed, that they can influence us and we can influence them? If this is about the living and the now and the present, it seems counterintuitive to allow those realms to continually connect and collide.
I guess it's a different worldview, my friend, because for Western culture, a lot of times it's kind of like the Highlander, there can only be one. In Native, all of these realms interact together, just like the different organs of the body. So can you imagine how horrible it would be if we were locked in a 3D world? We couldn't feel emotions, we couldn't sense life around us. It would be horrific. We couldn't receive messages from our helpers or angelics. So that would be awful. So for us, we don't see it so much as a collision, as much as, you know, balanced interaction in that way. We need, and I guess let me just go a little bit further. Once again, the distinction of living and being in body as somehow being different than being non-corporeal. We're spirits. We're just expressing ourselves in different ways. Right now, Creator has us in 3D, but that's no less valid than, say, you or Tim, you know, being an energetic body and interacting from a different level. So it helps to clarify things. I hope it does.
To a degree, sure. Now, we're going to have to take a break in a minute, but I want to cover when we come back and start trying to understand our place in the world and how we can become more interconnected with spirits of animals, nature, and others, so that we can become a more complete human, to have the more fulfilled life that I think that we're due. So I'll kind of leave that with you as we roll into this break. And let me tell everybody, hey, everybody out there, you know that every car comes with a share of stories. That ding on your bumper when you nervously picked up on that first date, or maybe the new luxury package you got after a big promotion. Maybe the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. Now, while you can't put a tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then just answer a few questions. Does it have navigation and moonroof? Watch as that bumps up your value. Maybe you have high mileage. Well, you knew that was going to cost you, but now you know exactly how much it dings your wallet, so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent to you in just minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers are not available in all areas.
The Mantis Encounter of Hawaii, a story shared by Bill Murphy, formerly of the hit TV sci-fi channel series Fact or Fake, The Paranormal Files. I would like to share with you an unusual encounter I had in 2007 that occurred on the Big Island of Hawaii. I booked a week at a resort called Kalani, which is a beautiful slice of paradise, where I met another 50 to 60 people who were there for a metaphysical retreat. I was drawn to the conference since I was using electroencephalograms for several years to measure the difference in brainwave frequencies of people who claimed to have an expanded awareness, including developing a sixth sense after intense meditation. Now, since there was a series of classes offered throughout the conference that involved meditation, I thought this would be a great opportunity to learn some of the techniques used to quiet the mind, and perhaps have access to willing test subjects for my own research. However, after preparing for this adventure, I decided to throw myself into the experience and leave my cumbersome EEG home, as it was clear to me this wouldn't be a journey to obtain data. Instead, this would be an opportunity to participate in what had been practiced for thousands of years, long before people relied on technology to validate their claims. The weather was blustery and unstable when I arrived, and the mist from the sea, coupled with high winds, added to the excitement. I liked the atmosphere, but the driver of the van that picked us up from the airport seemed slightly nervous. As we entered the resort and I could see people were trying to secure canopies and tents throughout the grounds, I had rented a bungalow which had two solid walls and two exterior walls built of screens with floor-to-ceiling blinds. I liked the space a lot. The large, fearless lizards were crawling across the screens and staring back at me. The humid breeze flooded the entire bungalow, and even when the rain came and went on that first night, I didn't mind at all when the interior became damp.
being totally connected with nature, I was looking forward to whatever the organizers of the event had planned. I tossed my suitcase on the floor, and as dusk came, I headed to the center of the grounds, where a huge campfire was illuminating the lush greenery and people's faces. With sparks flying up and flickering flames casting shadows everywhere, people's faces were shifting, as only the light from a fire can create. We were all moths being drawn to the flames, and everyone was greeting each other while scanning their surroundings, knowing we all were going to be a part of something special. It felt mysterious, maybe even slightly dangerous, with the burning logs snapping and the flames crackling. Eventually, everyone melted away into the night, heading to their tents and lodges. The next morning, the blowing of the conch signaled the first meal of the day was being served. A superb menu was posted in the outdoor cafeteria, and an assortment of Hawaiian cuisine was offered. It was all healthy and very satisfying. Several rows of long tables ensured you would be breaking bread with people you hadn't known before, but would seem like old friends by the end of the meal. The organizers pointed to the signs posted with various classes and workshops, and I signed up for several during the days and nights throughout the week. One class was titled Portal Building, and 8 of us added our names to the roster. For the first few days, I attended large workshops and some of the smaller classes when I learned basic meditation methods. There is an unexpected surprise when you become mindful or conscious of the moment you are in. What begins as quiet introspection ends with a sudden rush of information about your surroundings near and far. It's the complete opposite of being attention deficit, and my ability to see and hear everything drastically improved as I worked to quiet my own inner voice. During the times I was not in a scheduled class, I explored Kalani. I could hear the waves hitting the ever-changing coastline of the island, and I ventured into an overgrown area where I found a trail leading to the cliffs overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The volcanic basalt creates beautiful black beaches and cliffs, topped with green vegetation. I found a large swing, easily wide enough for 2 people, and swung on it despite the fact I seemed to go slightly past the cliff with at least an 80-foot drop to the sea. After I had my fill, I stopped the swing and looked at the painting on it. I believe it said, "This magical place," and other words I couldn't decipher. I then heard the not-too-distant sounds of bongo drums. I ambled toward the drum beats and found 2 people. One was teaching the other to drum with several different percussion instruments. It was an instructor from Kalani, and I signed up for an hour-long spontaneous class on tribal drumming. It was all so perfect, and just what I had hoped Hawaii would be like. During all of this, there were the shifting winds and the constant mist that never seemed to be a bother at all, even when the tropical rain would suddenly drench everything. After several days, the evening of the portal building class had arrived. Those that signed up met at the designated sculpture in the center of the retreat, and we were led to a sweat lodge in a slightly secluded area. It is a low, round structure built with volcanic rocks that is open on 2 sides, but you have to duck to enter, and it's best to sit once inside. There was no electricity, and we needed flashlights to see. Once everyone was comfortable, our session began with Oms, which is a type of chant that has a synchronizing effect on a group of people. This falls into a natural rhythm followed by silence, and then more Oms, etc. Now, some people open and close their eyes intermittently, but the effect is very calming. After nearly 40 minutes of this, several of us slightly opened our eyes, but not saying a word. I realized those with their eyes open, including myself, were looking at the section of the curved wall that had the same simple black cloth that is used to cover the 2 openings. At first, it seemed to look like fireflies had entered the sweat lodge, as it looked like tiny twinkling lights. But then they began to swirl in a rotating pattern that started to speed up and take on a purple hue. The swirling lights deepened in color and the circular pattern enlarged, with another triangular shape forming in the center. It was then that the image began to become clear. The shape I was seeing was that of a mantis head, but it was made of the same purple light. Although it was now clearly defined, it appeared to be approximately 18 inches across, and parts of the large upright body were also visible. The head moved from side to side, scanning all 8 of us. Within minutes, it faded away. No one said a word the whole time until someone whispered, "Perhaps we should exit the sweat lodge." We all scrambled without hesitation and stood outside of the structure looking at each other, waiting for anyone to speak. Finally, one person asked, "What was that?" I believe none of us wanted to admit what we saw, because each of us had no way of knowing what the others had seen, if anything. Another person finally said she thought she saw what looked like a giant insect. Yes, several of us blurted out. But as it turned out, this giant purple mantis that poked its scary head out of a swirling vortex was seen by 5 of the 8 that were there. Those that saw it didn't feel threatened, but this type of sighting was not your average occurrence, which made it frightening. Although I have had an interest in studying enduring mysteries for many years, I was not familiar with creatures like this before, but have since read about others who have seen what many people call the mantis head aliens. I don't know if they're extraterrestrial, interdimensional, a shared ancient memory, or perhaps hallucinations of some sort. What I can say is that this conference was about healthy living, with 3 square meals a day, proper rest and exercise, and expanding the mind using centuries-old natural techniques. I did go back to the sweat lodge the next day to examine it thoroughly, looking closely at the rocks and black cloths while taking several photographs. There was absolutely nothing unusual about any of it. I'll never forget that portal building class I participated in with those other people, and the mantis head that we experienced in Hawaii. The 5 of us saw the giant mantis. We're all now bonded in a way that only a life-changing experience like this can accomplish. The weather had become very calm as I left the island, but you never really leave Hawaii. A piece of you always remains, calling you back.
If you like our show, you're going to love Offbeat with Ricky Anderson and Mir Harris on Podcast One. The head of A&R for the Kanye West-founded label Good Music and the music executive turned activist as they welcome Apple executive and world-famous DJ Zane Lowe. Download new episodes of Offbeat with Ricky Anderson and Mir Harris every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Beyond the darkness.
Welcome back to the program. This is Beyond the Darkness, the best for paranormal talk radio every Saturday and Sunday. You can find Tim Dennis and your old pal Dave Schrader right here as we explore the strange and unusual world around us with supernatural news, parashare, and fascinating guests like Eagle Skyfire. We're here talking about her book and her work. The book is Journeying Between the Worlds, Walking with the Sacred Spirits Through Native American Teachings and Practices. It feels to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Eagle, but it feels to me that kind of in birth and in life, part of who we are is scattered throughout the universe. And it's kind of our job to find those pieces and to become kind of whole. Is that maybe too simplistic of a view on what life is for us?
Well, I'd have to say, let me just kind of tweak that.
Please.
What I would say to you is, as we were talking previously, Creator has you living more than one life, shall we say, more than one timeline. That doesn't mean that you're fragmented. Typically, for us, what causes fragmentation is when a soul undergoes trauma or stress. And what I teach is, imagine the soul is a beautiful living gem. And when it goes underneath stress, it can have stress lines like a stone. And if you stress it some more, you can have little shards and fragments. So what happens is, say, for example, and what's trauma to one person is not trauma to another. But say, for example, someone was crushed when they found their first love cheating. And that could cause that fragment of their soul that dealt with innocence and trust to remain frozen in time and lost in that moment. So as they go forward, they could be 20 years into the future, they find that there's a part of themselves that still doesn't trust and for some reason seems numb to be able to have that level of feeling and intimacy as before. And that's when a shaman would do what's called a soul retrieval to retrieve those fragments and help to restore them to the individual so that the soul can become whole again.
All right, I get that aspect of it, but it seems that in our journey, we really need to learn how to make these connections to the different aspects outside of self. Mm-hmm. How do we start to connect properly. I mean, a lot of people have trouble with just the, oh, go out and hug a tree, put your feet into the dirt and soak in that. But is it that simple? And how do we connect with animal, spirit, earth, and all of the energy around us so that we can become a more whole human, able to enjoy the entire experience?
Oh, and that's a valid question. So native ways are simple ways, because for us, it has to be practical and simple at the same time. So I go through a lot of these teachings in my book. But to answer your question, you know, when you are, and what I would say is, say, for example, since you mentioned the trees, I'm just going to go off of that. You know, say that you just enjoy leaning on a tree or sitting against a tree. Then you open your senses and relax your mind to feel the energy running through that tree, feeling the earth beneath you, feeling the sky around you. And then ultimately what's going to happen is, as you allow yourself to be open, and the mind has to learn to listen, which is very hard. The mind likes to chatter. You will actually feel the presence or the essence of that specific tree. Just like when you're open, you could recognize the essence of your best friend versus that of a stranger. And what happens is, literally, you could ask that tree, please, can you just help to heal me or help me to feel more deeply what's around me? And that tree will connect its energy with yours and then expand it outwards. The same thing with animals. The biggest mistake I think that people do is they try to humanize animals. And they're not. They're not humans. They're who they are. So when you connect with an animal, same thing. Relax your energy. They speak on an energetic level. And you can sense what they're sensing. And in turn, have them teach you. So that would be on this side. When you're on spirit side, again, reaching out to the essence of, say, I'm going to say, of a place. Because sometimes a place has more presence. There could be sacred ancestors there, the ancestors of the land. And connecting with them heart to heart. And then being open, ask them, what is it that you'd like to teach me or show me? And again, allowing yourself to be receptive and let them speak to you. Sometimes it's an energy, an emotion. Sometimes it could be a full-blown message. But the idea is to be able to listen with all of your being. And then as you connect, you will find that your spirit will begin to connect with these other beings, and in turn, you will learn to walk in between the worlds, learn to journey.
All right. If I know we've got listeners all around the world that tune into this and are looking for that first step into that new life, what are some practical, I guess, experiences that they can start right now? Some early exercises to start to master so they can get to that level.
Okay. The first one might sound so elementary as to be simple, but making time. And I know that's not easy, but making time to be consistent with it. You know, you're worth it. You know, have that investment. The second piece would be taking time in nature. So say, even if you're in a city where there's not a whole lot of nature to be had, even if you go by a house plant or even by a park, and allowing yourself to completely be immersed and connect with the natural world. Because for us, since the breath of Creator runs through all things, when you do that, you are allowing the breath of Creator that is found in the tree and the grass or what have you to begin to take you. So opening your senses, you know, being completely present. And then when you feel that, and there's that at oneness. And let me explain to the listeners, it's not as hard as it seems. If you've ever been outside and you just exhale and you feel the sun and it feels so good, or at nighttime, the moon. And in that moment, you just feel complete. We say you've touched the face of Great Spirit. So when you can be in that energetic, then you can ask your guardian spirit, whether it's an angel or an ancestor, what have you, to come to you, to help you. And then from there, the first steps is inner awareness. You know, you might have questions about how better to conduct your life or to solve a problem. Then it could be connecting with sacred energy to channel energy. And from there, you can ask, can you please take me to the realm of the lower kingdoms, or to see past lives or future lives, or to connect with the divine being. So I would say the first steps are make time, go to a place of nature where you can just be at oneness, ask your guardian spirit to come and protect you and be your guide, and then asking questions on how better to grow your spiritual life, and even just how better to conduct your physical everyday life too.
And when you're asking that, how do you know and how can you discern between it being a higher consciousness that's filtering you this information and your own ego or id?
Yeah, I'm going to say, or, you know, the mind chatter. And that's that's one thing that I do teach. If something is just created by your mind or your ego, you will be able to change it any way you like because it's a fabrication. So you're going to be able to manipulate it like a marionette on a string. So you ask questions. When I teach, I say having an open, skeptical mind is absolutely vital in order to be able to have discernment. But if it is a message, there'll be two things that'll happen. The first one is the message is going to remain the same. And more than likely, it'll be something that you would not have even thought of or presented in the manner that you would do it. So it's very much like looking at a chair and willing it to be an elephant, and you can scream at it, it's going to remain a chair. It's not going to change. The second piece is the universe will repeat the message to you over and over again in different ways. So that if it's very much like when you dictate a phone number to someone, you will be repeating the numbers until they dictate it back to you properly. So the universe will find different ways of validating, reaffirming, repeating until you get it right.
Do these the messages and the things that we get through, do they come through convoluted? I mean, are there signs and different representations that we need to try to interpret? Or, you know, because especially in the Native American culture, it seems that there's a lot of legend and lore surrounding these kind of more, I guess there's just no straight directive information that comes in any of our stories that I learn, no matter what culture or belief system we come in. When we're learning, it doesn't ever seem to come in a way that just this is what needs to be done. It's always in interpreting the signs that we're given. And how does that work in the Native American culture?
Okay. And it's funny because, again, interpreting messages and making sure that it's clear is something that I actually cover in my book, so that it gets rid of hopefully all, if not most of that, you know, confusion. So the first thing, and again, it's very common sense in a way, you and I are communicating in this moment because subconsciously we're agreeing to speak 21st century American English. We're not speaking British English or Australian English. So the first thing is creating a point of reference for your guardian spirit and those who work with you to point at. So say, for example, somebody likes, I'm going to say, gems. You know, they like stones. You can pick a book or maybe even a deck of cards that says this gem represents this thing. So you can say to the ones who walk with you, when you want to give me a message, we're using this dictionary in order for me to receive the message. So that's one point. The second piece that is necessary is just like when you are, nowadays everybody's on their computers, you create files and you label those files and categories so you can find them again. So when you ask a question of your guardian spirits, you pick, it could be a word, it could be an image. What you're doing is you're picking a point of reference so that when the answer comes, your guardian is trying to give you an answer, and it might come when you're driving 2 weeks later and you're like, what the heck is this? And then the image will be flashed. Say if it's a question about a family member, you see the image, that face that you said, let's use this as a point of reference. Then you go, oh, okay. So what you're saying now is in relation to that question I asked, you know, 2 weeks ago. So for us, in the Native way, you find out who your kin are, which means there are certain beings in nature that we all resonate to. Some people are plants, others are stones, others are animals, others are earth spirits, So you learn about them because they're the ones who are going to want to talk to you most. But then the other points of reference are necessary. And then the third thing I would say is a lot of times, you know, the ones who walk with you might use your own memories as teaching stories. What did you learn? This might be a similar situation. And again, that test of, well, is it just my ego? Is it just my, you know, my imagination? And you try to shift up the narrative and you're going to find that the narrative doesn't change. And that's when you know, and you get to know the energy of your guardian spirits. Just like, again, you find the familiar energy of somebody whom you love, you will know who's talking to you. And that's part of the training. So you discern who is talking to you and what caliber are they? So that's all part of the training of the Native American shamanistic way.
So is it that we already have the answers and all of the life lessons within us, that we are this great collective being, and that the things that we call upon don't really bring us that information, but they bring us the key to unlock the information that already exists within?
I would say that's mostly true. But each one of us are, you know, have our own go-tos. So say for you, you know, Dave, you have, I'm sure, tremendous information that people would go to you for, but they wouldn't necessarily go to you if they're trying to make a seven-layer gourmet wedding cake. You know what I mean? So they would go to somebody else. So yes, we have access to the answers within us. So all of it, yes. But each one of us contains a piece of it, which is why we need each other. No one being has it all. And the one creator made it this way so that we have interdependence. We need each other, just like the dream catcher. It shows a weaving together of, and that need to interact.
You know, I wish this was, and I guess that's part of the journey. We all wish it was easier. We want the shortcut or the magic bullet that's going to take us from point A to Z faster. But there are these lessons. Hey, why does it feel like some lessons we just can't get? We just, no matter how hard we seek answers, we seek counsel with ourselves, with our elders, with the universe, it's almost devoid of an answer. Like it just doesn't exist.
Well, there's a variety of reasons. And I guess I just want to, if you don't mind, just make a little bit of a commentary. For Please. Native way, we don't look at going to point A to point B. That's a Western thing. We see the journey as being as valuable, maybe even more so, than getting to your destination. So if you're mm-hmm. dipping, trying to get to your destination, you miss out on the lessons. You know, it's, you know, so it's kind of like when you're so busy trying to eat your lunch to get back to work, you don't even remember what the heck you ate. You didn't taste anything, you know. So savor the journey, all of it, bad and good, because it helps for you to grow. So that would be the first thing I would say to you. And if you find that if some of the lessons are devoid, as you said, if I'm trying to learn, as I went back previously about, say, Creator wants me to learn about love, and then I'm trying to learn about power. Well, that's none of my karma. So that's going to be blocked. I'm not there yet. And it could very well be that my human self, I don't have a point of reference. I'm not ready for it. So it'd be like talking to an elementary grade school child about quantum physics. I could get the basics, or maybe it's not even worth starting the conversation because I don't have the vocabulary yet. I don't have the cognitive ability yet to understand the complexity. So if you find that you're being blocked, don't be frustrated. You might be frustrated anyway, but realize that, just say to yourself, if this is not being given to me, it's not being given to me yet. And let me ask instead, what do I need to focus on so that I can go in harmony and move through this with grace? That is more effective than trying to force your way into something that you want to know that you may not be ready for yet.
So what you're saying is the pathway is maybe not a broad scape. To get to that broad point of where we're heading, we have to go past these other aspects in order to get to that answer. And if we keep short shrifting ourselves, that's why that answer never comes, because we're not focused on the experience of the moment. We're trying to look past it to what we want out of the situation.
Exactly. And this happens even in everyday life. Think about it. when you've tried to teach somebody something and they're so busy in trying to get to the end point and what they want out of it, they're missing what you're saying to them. And it gets frustrating trying to teach or talk to somebody like that. Now, imagine your guardians having to deal with that with somebody who may not be able to see or hear them. It's like trying to teach Helen Keller before she learned sign language. That can be very frustrating for all parties. So again, the journey is equally important as to getting to the destination.
Is it best to try to learn these messages through dream, through that type of connection? Because it seems that when we do have those moments, they're extremely profound.
It can be. So dreaming with a capital D, that's when you have what we call the bigger dreams. That's when you feel like you are at a place in the dream time like you are here in the physical. So yes, it can be. But realize in Native American perspective, life is a dream. It is a physical representation of our hopes, our fears, of what we as an individual, which is reflected in your homes. Your homes are a physical reflection of what's in your spirit and in your mind. And as a collective, as a society. So this is a dream as much as the dream time, except for in the dream time, our minds are shut down and we are more receptive, if that makes sense.
Total sense, right? Because then we're out of our logical mind that's always trying to make sense and place things into a certain category, and we're allowed to just accept her on a broader scale. So surreal and abstract concepts seem more accessible and acceptable, I would guess, in those realms.
Exactly. That's correct. Yes. Yes. A lot of symbology. Absolutely correct.
I think where it gets confusing for a lot of us then is the fact, you know, then how do you start to discern between a dream and a real experience as a learning experience, as opposed to just something your brain's purging, you know, toxins out and it shows up in this form.
Okay. And that's a very valid question. So what I would say to you is, which is true. So if it's just what we call a little dream, you know, hey, I lost my teeth, or, you know, there's a pink elephant that just danced in my living room, then it just will feel like that. It'll feel like it doesn't have substance. Although it's good to study the symbology anyway, because it could tell you what your subconscious is still working on, even though your logic mind might be ignoring it. You know, and there could be valid messages from within self. If it is a big dream, then what's going to happen is, it will feel as solid as being here on this side. And odds are it's not something that you would imagine. So the most common experience is, say, for example, someone has lost a loved one. And suddenly their mother or their father or their best friend is visiting them, as physical as, it's kind of like the scenes from The Ghost Whisperer, you know, sitting with them and talking to them. And what they're saying and their energy is as solid as if they were still breathing. And you can't deny it. It resonates in your own heart and soul that this is more than just the bubble gum of the mind. And you begin to, and again, the message, say if it was a loved one who visited you in the dream time, you're going to get other signs and feelings that they're with you, affirming this is not imagination. I have come here to comfort you. So that's some of the major ways that you'll know the difference.
All right. Those are some great lessons. I'm hoping people are writing this down, because so many of us want to try to make sense of the chaos of the world around us and start to understand the visions and the things that we do see and trying to make sense of it. And the world, as you kind of started off with the show, seems to be in a place of chaos. Is this part of nature's growing pains for us? Is it have to go through these evolutionary stages of collapse and destruction in order for something better to come from it, like the phoenix effect?
Oh, and it's funny because my symbol, the fire eagle, is the phoenix. It's what the elders gave my name to be. Well, again, let me just take a step backwards so we can walk together hand in hand with Native culture. For us, harmony, which is made of order and chaos, are neutral forces. Neither one is good. So if you have too much order, then you have bureaucracies and organized religions that are basically destroying the very things that they were supposed to protect. if you have too much chaos, then it's draining. And, you know, it's like living in the bad side of Wonderland. So for us, we view the harmony, the universe is striving to harmony always. It is made in harmony. So if you look at your physical body, if it's always also striving to harmony. If it is fighting off a virus, it'll produce more white blood cells. If you are doing more exercise, it'll produce more red blood cells to carry more oxygen and nutrients. So when we have this cycle of order and chaos, we see it as evolution. And how we participate as individuals sends out an energy that impacts the collective. And when we consciously act together as a collective, let me give you a beautiful example. I'm an animal person. I deal with animal rescue and the animals are my kin. If you look back maybe 20 or so years ago, for those of us who remember, experimenting on animals, and especially for cosmetics, was very accepted. But as a collective, we said no. And now that's considered, you know, everybody's trying to greenwash and, you know, lessen the testing on animals. So again, this is the power, the impact of the one and working together with the many. So if we see evolution, if we consciously participate and not fear, you know, death is transformation. That's all it is. And if you're willing to participate with it, then you can create something much better. You can take advantage of being able to turn that page and assist in writing a more beautiful narrative.
That sounds like a great start for all of us, right, to get into. But when the world is in a place of chaos and upheaval,
mm-hmm.
right, and we're kind of immersed into that, you know, I think a lot of us feel more like we're in the toilet bowl factor, where it's just something completely sucking us down, right? We're kind of spinning out of control and out of our realm. The chaos part of the experience? Is that something we need to have in order to shake us out of the zombie-like state we could enter?
That's the way the native would look at it. This is part of the awakening. And we can either choose to dread it and be stuck in that moment of, oh my God, or we can say, you know what? This is an opportunity now. It's being highlighted. What is so far out of balance, we need to change it. Now, how do we choose to participate with it as individuals and as a collective? So in Native culture, we view ourselves as part of a greater whole always. So in other words, if something were to happen to you, then even though I don't know you, again, you are my brother in spirit to assist you, to not get in your way, not to tell you what to do, but to maybe just point out, hey, this it might be better this way. If the world seems like it's going down the toilet, the illusion that I find through mainstream media is they try to make us afraid of each other, that we're powerless. What shamanism helps to do is helps for you to center, realize that the universe is in harmony, realize that you're not powerless, and get in touch with a form of greater information and of self, I'm going to say with the breath of creator, a greater power that you can harness to improve your life, your health, your sanity. And in turn, it's like one candle lighting another. So the darkness allows for the stars to shine. It's not devoid.
And for people that want this experience and want to grow, that maybe grew up with a different belief system or religion base, mm-hmm. is this accessible for all? Or is this something that, you know, and I know it might sound like a silly question to you, but I mean, is it something that anybody can learn or is allowed to learn?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for us as Native people, let me tell you what we have through the Iroquois. The great law of the Haudenosaunee says, if their hearts are pure, their eyes are open, and their hands are clean, they should be taught. Which means if your heart is pure, that you have no ulterior motives, your eyes are open means you understand what you're trying to learn, and your hands are clean, that you will not use it to harm yourself or another, then learning the ways of shamanism, learning the sacred ways is your birthright. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't say the color of skin. It doesn't say, you know what happened in the past. That you have the right to connect with the sacred self, with creator, and to journey in between the worlds, to your sacred self and to the world beyond. So absolutely everybody can learn. But what I put the caveat is, say, for example, like sports, okay? Anybody who has normal, you know, a normal body can learn a sport of some sort. If you're a klutz like me, I'll never see, you know, the big leagues. I'll be lucky if I can hit the ball and find it. And then there are other people who, through training, can become Olympians. So it's the same here. We all have different degrees, but we all have the birthright to connect with the sacred self, and the sacred of all that is. So don't, what I tell people, because I really had this a lot, whether you love him, whether you hate him in this country, when there was just such a turmoil over Trump becoming president and being a spiritual teacher, what I told people is don't get fixated. This is an awakening. This is an awakening for us to go together as people. And even spiritually, you know, it's time to send more light and back it up with kindness to each other and to the spirits, allowing for them to give us wisdom like they used to in the past. So for us, we don't really see a division. You know, we see everything as unified.
Well, if you're willing to make that journey, folks, and you want to start understanding you, your life, your path, and your journey, and you want to stretch outside of the current means and education that you have, then I encourage you to pick up the book, Journeying Between the Worlds, Walking with the Sacred Spirits Through Native American Shamanic Teachings and Practices by Eagle Skyfire. We'll have a link up to that book and information on today's program. Eagle, thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing this wisdom with us.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for allowing for me to be here today, and I hope to hear from everyone in the future.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoyed that, too. It's always great when we can hear from other cultures, from other systems of ways to improve who we are. There are so many people, Tim, that feel disconnected to the religions or the belief systems that they've been a part of for so long.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's sacrilegious to look outside of your normal in order to maybe find peace. The whole concept is about living, loving, and making the best of the life that we're given.
I think you're right there. I think a lot of people think that their system is the right system and the only system to look at. And to do that is to kind of put yourself in quite the pigeonhole. And really, there are times where you need to expand and look at other systems, because in the end, all roads really do lead to the same road. And you need to kind of expand your horizons.
Right. And the fact is, you know, it's funny. Some people that hold so steadfast to their belief system, and, you know, well, this is the only one that's right, will tell you that things are not right in their world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if things are not right in the world, then maybe you need to find the right key that fits your lock, that can turn that tumbler and open you up to a whole new living experience. There's a lot of people living miserable lives out there, and it's mostly self-imposed. And I know there are many of you rolling your eyes at me right now saying, no, no, I'm being put down by the man. I'm being crushed by the soul or the spirit of the people above me at work or in my life. And we just have to remember that we have the power within to change those moments. We're not powerless. And once you give up, once you become powerless to being powerless, once you give that up and start to get your foothold back, you'll see that there is life beyond the means that you currently have. And sometimes it's in finding teachings that make sense to you. And it's anything that can help you progress in your nature as a human to get to the next level. I don't think there's bad or evil in that if it's looking outside of your current paradigm and expectations. We grow when we push past our comfort zone. Otherwise, when we sit in those moments, we're atrophying our souls, our lives, our bodies. It's when we push past it that's when the greatest miracles happen. And I love hearing from people like Eagle Skyfire that can bring these different concepts to us to examine. And I hope people will pick up the book and educate themselves, even if this is just one step along the path, one more happy meal in the education of life to digest and make sense of. You know, if you are so locked into a paradigm that isn't working for you and expecting something good to come of it, then you're cheating yourself.
Very true.
So open up and try to make the best of the life that you've got. We are done for today. We'll be back on Tuesday with True Crime Tuesday, the best in true crime talk radio. And I would love for you to join us. If you haven't already subscribed, subscribe now. It's only $5 a month. It's $1.25, basically, per episode every month. But it's so much more because it also gives you the past 2 years of past episodes. How many episodes are we up to now, Tim?
We just did 100, number 108 with Gianni Russo. I had a great time with the Hollywood Godfather this last week. we had an interesting conversation, Dave. And let's just say this. In the last episode, there are clues to not only who did it as far as the Kennedy, the JFK assassination, but also who did it as far as Bobby Kennedy's assassination. And also, did you know, Dave, that Richard Nixon had an affair?
I did not know that, Tim.
That's true. It's all in this last episode of True Crime Tuesday. And shame on you if you're not subscribing right now. And Dave, tell them how they do it.
Listen, $5 a month gets you every brand new episode. Like I said, it's $1.25 a month, or $1.25 an episode, basically, for each new episode is the way it breaks down. But you get so much more. You get access to the last 108 episodes of the program. So you've got years worth of programming to go back to, plus access to every brand new episode. Just go check out our website at darknessradio.com. Scroll down to the True Crime Tuesday section, and you can figure out how to subscribe there. It's very easy. But again, for $5 a month, when you subscribe to our True Crime Tuesday program, that helps to keep this show alive, that show alive, and keeps us able to continue to commit and bring you the best in talk radio. So thank you very much. Go check it out. And remember, we take you beyond the bizarre crimes that we cover into the world of dumb crimes and stupid criminals. So after we take you through some dramatic and sometimes very emotional stories, we're often able to bring back into the fun and love and light and laugh at the world around us. So I think you'll enjoy it. If you haven't already subscribed, subscribe now. If you were a subscriber and had to let it lapse for whatever reason, this is as good a time as ever to get back into the fold. Go to darknessradio.com, subscribe now, and never miss another minute in the best of talk radio with Dave and Tim on Beyond the Darkness and True Crime Tuesday.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.